Hello, hello, and welcome to the Sharp Side Podcast. I'm your host, Chaz Parada, and joining me is James Bitter. It is week 5 of the college football season, and James, we have been a collective pile of dog crap so far. We both have losing records so far. I believe I am a half game up on you, if that sounds correct. Game and a half. And we got to right the ship, but before we do, some quick thoughts from last week in college football. I feel like it's somewhat of a boring weekend outside the Clemson loss. Just like all the games that, I guess that like it was an exciting game, but like Notre Dame, Wisconsin was a snoozer. Any big takeaways there?
No, honestly, like the slate last week was pretty light. I wasn't really looking forward to last weekend. My biggest takeaway was it was a blessing I was not on this pod because I had a horrible Saturday. I got my ass handed to me. So it's good that nobody listened to my opinions on these games because it was the worst Saturday I've had in a long time. But it's a good buy low spot. I'm bouncing back this week.
It was, I think I went 2-3 on like the podcast plays, which isn't like at the end of the world.
I did as well. But like, my saving grace plays were like the end of the night. And it's just like throughout the day, it was just a bloodbath. I was like, oh my God. It was like the day couldn't end fast enough, that type of thing.
Yeah. I kind of somewhat predicted a Baylor upset, which I feel good about. And I talked about the, I don't know if you listened, I talked about the Baylor to win Big 12 future, which if you got in on the 70-1, I think I saw a 30-1 now. So that's good stuff. And even the quarterback is getting a little Heisman love in that, on the Heisman market too, which I don't know if he really deserves that, but that's a separate discussion entirely. My big takeaway is, and I'll get to it when I talk more about Texas, but Texas's offense looks incredible now that they're just rolling with Casey Thompson. And I think that the better that Arkansas looks, the better Texas looks. And Arkansas, I think they played a quarter and a half against Casey Thompson. So I do think that does kind of mean something. Arkansas dominated last week, just straight up. And I mean, there's a couple injuries, which it's looking like Burks and KJ Jefferson are both going to play. But I think 18 and a half seems a little disrespectful, and I still think I'm going to lean Georgia. So that'll be something that I'm very excited to kind of see how that game plays out. We're just going to rip right into it. Do you have any like conference futures, national title futures? I've got one that I made, or Heisman futures that you want to talk about. Do you look at those markets at all?
No, I haven't really been following the Heisman. I think at this point, it's really hard to say there's a lot of candidates. I mean, it's not really guys playing their way into it. It's more so guys playing their way out of it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like it's a couple guys right now, I think, that are worth a look, but I mean, their odds certainly reflect it. So staying away from that. My only conference future bet before the season was Wisconsin, and good Lord, I mean, talking about a team that returned a lot is bad.
Yeah,
they are.
Well, the defense fine. Like the
defense is good, but that offense is just good Lord. Graham Mertz, like we were sold on him. Yeah, that's was wrong about that. But I love Georgia 8-1 and Oklahoma 8-1 is it's still in, but Georgia 8-1 is what's getting me through this year.
Oh, for sure. And I'll get into a couple futures I bet in a sec, but I think we're seeing the absolute bottom of Oklahoma football right now, and I do think it only goes up from here. I did talk about Rattler and Howell as undervalued in the Heisman market a bit last week. It called a little disingenuous. I didn't end up betting them, so I'm kind of happy that I didn't just burn money away. So these are two bets I actually did make, which, God, take it for what it is now. So I bet Cincy 75-1 to win the national title. I do like them this week, and I think that if they win and then just run the table, I don't think the ACC is good enough to get in, and that I do think there are scenarios where
the Pac-12 or Big 12 plays their way out.
And even the Big 10, if the Big 10 loses a game, or let's say Ohio State loses a game, Penn State is liable to lose a couple. It's just whatever kind of shakes out that way. I do think that the teams at the top of the Big 10 can kind of eat each other a little bit. Oregon looks great right now, but I'm not sure that it's kind of similar conversation where I could see Oregon dropping a couple games that they should be winning, and then it opens the door for Cincy to get in. And then the other bet I made was Casey Thompson to win the Heisman. I found a 150-1. So just a quick little stat on him. I'll just say it now before it. Spoiler alert, Texas -4 is my favorite bet of the weekend. But Casey Thompson has scored on 23 of 26 offensive drives that he's led since he's played at Texas, which I think now I'm asking myself, why the hell wasn't he playing over Sam Ellinger? But if he continues to do that, and then first of all, they're going to be very live to win the Big 12. Second of all, I think they're going to be live to make the playoff, but I didn't really want to bet that at all. I've already bet Bijan Robinson to get there. So if whoever the writers choose to attribute more success there, if I can get one of them to Heisman night? What do they call the trophy presentation? If I can get one, if I can get one of them to New York, I think that like going from there, I could probably hedge out a little bit because I've got two decent sized tickets on them, especially at 150-1. And like, even still, like the odds don't necessarily reflect like the winner of it. I think that Tua was supposed to beat Kyler Murray up until like 10 hours before the trophy was actually awarded that weekend. And so like we do see like these odds kind of like shift like very, very heavily. And I also, just because Bryce Young and Matt Corral are playing this week, I don't think that a win for either of them guarantees the Heisman Trophy. I think there's still a long season left for football to be played. And so I do think there still is a little bit of value in this market. That said, let's just roll right on into Ole Miss and Alabama. I would say this is the most anticipated game of the weekend. Would you agree?
Certainly.
Yeah. This total. Bama's laying 14.5, and the total is at 79.5. And it's hit 80 this week, right? I thought I saw an 80 at one point.
I didn't, but it wouldn't surprise me if it gets there. Just a half point away.
Well, what are your thoughts here? You kind of like Ole Miss, right?
I do. I mean, Lane Kiffin's been a thorn in Saban's side. I mean, in years past, we've seen this Bama defense struggle against mobile quarterbacks who can run the ball and throw the ball. I mean, that's exactly what Matt Corral is. And this offense is just a juggernaut. Bama's defense certainly did not look like a fine oiled machine at Florida. Bless you, by the way. Or is that a cough? Sorry.
Thank you.
I should have rescinded my bless you.
Dick.
But Alabama's defense is not as good as I think people think it is. That Florida game kind of exposed it a little bit for me. They were vastly outgained in that game. And honestly, I thought Florida just played a better game than them, but they built themselves too big of a hole in that first half and just couldn't come all the way back. I think Ole Miss here, if they get out to a good start and don't fall behind, I think they're very live in this game and they can give Bama all they want. I did bet it +14.5. I don't have much of a play on the total. Honestly, I think it's pretty spot on. If you look at the last few years, I think Bama's put up 50 plus the last 5 years against Ole Miss. So, you know, Bama's going to come put up points. The question is Ole Miss, and I believe they are. So I'm back in Ole Miss +14.5. And I think Corral can put up some video game numbers in this one.
I want to bet the under in this so bad because I think it's really, really high. And I think Bama's got, Georgia's got the best secondary in the kind of pass defense in football, but I think Bama's is pretty dang close. I think Lane Kiffin is he's an incredibly smart offensive mind, and I expect him to make the adjustment that he needs to do to kind of win the game, or at least keep him close. But and in my opinion, that would be kind of having Matt Corral run and having a Jerrion Ealy run, and just kind of, because that's where Bama really struggled against Florida, and you're also going to be able to sustain drives that way, and kind of control like the clock and keep it out of Alabama's, keep the ball out of their hands. Now, I don't think Lane Kiffin cares about that. And honestly, just kind of judging by Lane Kiffin, I think he just wants to hang at Ole Miss until he can get Archie Manning, or what's the, Peyton, it's like the Mannion's nephew.
Yeah, you got it right.
I saw that like he was the only person that he followed on Instagram or something the other day.
But
I think that their best chance of staying in this game would be to kind of like work and jury on Ely early, and I think that could lead to a little bit longer drives. And at 79.5, like that's might be the biggest total we see all year. And on the other side, I think that we could see Saban look to the run a little bit more, which I will, and I'm going to give Ole Miss's defense credit. Like they it hasn't been abject trash like it has been in years past. And I do think that it's a little bit better this year than it is, than it has been under Lane Kiffin. And so on the flip side, I think that if Matt Corral is throwing a bunch of passes, I think we're going to get stunted drives and Alabama's going to get the stops that they need. And so that would lend its way to an under two. Now, my issue here is that this is going to be a painful, painful, stressful under if I do bet it. So that's also kind of keeping me off. But I do think that there is a little bit of value at under 79.5. Maybe it ticks up two on Saturday with just, I'm sure everyone and their mom is going to want to bet this over Saturday. So maybe I wait until then, see if I can get a number above 80. Michigan at Wisconsin. Wisconsin's laying 2.5. Total is at 43.5. James, can you try and talk me out of this under?
No, in fact, I was going to play the first half under.
Okay, so, yeah, I do like that.
Yeah, I mean, both these offenses built around the run, not terribly efficient passing the ball, as we've obviously seen last week with Wisconsin. It went a little more swept under the rug with Michigan against Rutgers, but when they're behind the chains, they're not the best passing team. We know Wisconsin's defense is really, really, really good. And 41 points last week, none of that was their fault. I mean, they're responsible for maybe 20 of that 41. Probably less, honestly, with the field position. But, I mean, their offense is just pitiful as well. Michigan's defense has looked the part this year. They've looked really good. So I think what I'm trying to do here is target that first half under. I think in the second half, if someone falls behind, there could just be some random points. Kind of like what we saw last week. It's just horrible beat with that overhitting. But if you could find a 21 or better, I think that's a really good bet for the first half. For the full game, I definitely lean to Michigan here. Last year, Wisconsin came in the middle of Michigan's COVID, all their problems, and they won 49-11. I think this is a different Michigan team. I did too until I just looked it up. I think this is a different Michigan team than ones we've seen in the past. And I don't want to say I'm completely buying in, but I'm definitely not buying into Wisconsin anymore. And that lends me to Michigan. I think if this gets up to 3, I will be on Michigan. And I will definitely find a way to play this under, whether it's Wisconsin team total points under or full game under.
I think that you could bet Michigan team total under, Wisconsin team total under, and the full game under, and bet Michigan, and you'd still be live to win, have like Michigan win outright and just win all four. I think Wisconsin's defense is built to stop the run and kind of short to intermediate passing, and that's what Michigan does. So I don't have the stat updated for this week, but I believe, and if I remember correctly, that prior to last week's game, Cade McNamara had only attempted 8 passes over 10 plus yards, which is insanity. And so that's going to play right into Wisconsin's defense hands if that's what they're going to keep doing. Michigan runs the ball so much. And like, I think they held Notre Dame to what, like 30 yards rushing or something like that.
Yeah.
And part of that is like quarterback sacks and stuff. So like that adds in too. But Wisconsin's offense is pure trash. It's horrendous. They have no skill talent, and Graham Mertz makes horrible decisions. On top of that, this is not exactly an impressive offensive line. Michigan has a probable first round pick in Aiden Hutchinson on rushing the passer. So I do think that he could factor in this game a bit. And I don't Wisconsin is, I wish there was like an over, like a total punts thing prop I could bet.
Because the Sunday night football game, there would be.
Yeah. And so I'm actually going to like kind of try and find something like that come Saturday. But I think the under is the way to go. And it's the clock's going to be moving the whole game just because Michigan's going to be running. Wisconsin's going to be running into a stacked box, and then they'll run a play action, won't complete a pass, and they'll punt. And so this is going to be an ugly game, ugly, ugly, ugly game. And so, and I do agree. I think the three is very valuable, and I want to hop on Michigan as well. I'm at least going to throw a Michigan money line in like a round robin parlay or something like that. Arkansas going to Athens to take on the Georgia Bulldogs. Georgia's laying 18.5 with a total at 48. I lean Georgia. They get minus Eric Gilbert, who I'm not sure is going to be playing this year. I think they get back their best offensive weapon in Darnell Washington, and they get back probably their second best DB in Tyke Smith. And I think that's going to be very important against what is a good Arkansas defense. You're already adding a weapon. Like the secondary is already, I think the whole defense is the best in college football, but you've got to be able to stop the run. And when you have a second guy who can go one-on-one with Treylon Burks and still like, if you need to put safety help over the top, you can, but like, I'm not sure they're going to need to. And Georgia wins at, I think, every matchup in this game. And even on offense, another guy who I don't know why isn't getting much Heisman consideration is JT Daniels. They haven't really played anyone outside of Clemson, but like they're just putting up huge, huge, huge numbers ever since that Clemson game. And I think this Georgia offense is still somehow somewhat underrated. What's kind of your feel for this game?
Man, I don't have a feel for this one. My gut tells me to lean Arkansas. 18.5 just seems a lot in a game that's totaled at 48. Arkansas has burned me a few times. I was on week one and was very fortunate, but the following weeks they've torched me. I've really underrated this team, and I think last week was kind of my lesson. Like the last straw, just you can't do this again. So it'll probably be just a sit and watch for me and just really take into account how good either Arkansas or Georgia is after this one. I think 48 seems a little low for the way this Georgia offense has been playing, but at the same time, that defense is just spectacular, and Arkansas's defense is no slacker of their own. So probably just complete pass for me.
So if Georgia won this game by 7, would you say that's more of a disappointment for Georgia or that Arkansas just like played out of their mind? What would you say is more likely?
Well, it all depends. I mean, there's winning by 7 and like a lucky win by 7 when the game's pretty even. The yardage turnover battle is pretty even, like that type of stuff. And then there's like win by 7, but like you have no idea how the other team is still in the game. So yeah, it all depends, but I'd probably walk away more impressed by Arkansas, really.
Okay. Cincinnati traveling to take to South Bend to take on the Fighting Irish of Notre Dame. Notre Dame is getting 1.5 at home. Total is at 50.5. I already bet a bad Cincinnati number, minus 2.5. Notre Dame looks so bad. The final score looks way worse than that game actually was. They were losing in the fourth quarter. Were they down 4?
Three, I think.
Three. And then they got a kick return, and then I think there was like two.
Three pick sixes.
Was there three pick sixes?
There are at least two.
Oh my goodness.
I think he threw 4 picks. I think 3 might have gone to the house.
That's insane. This offense isn't good. Jack Cohn's finally doing Jack Cohn things, and it's making me smile. And then it's a shame that I don't know why Tyler Buchner, the backup for Notre Dame, didn't come in last week. But, I mean, the third stringer didn't do that bad. So, I mean, and they ended up winning, so who cares? But this NC team is a team that James and I have both been very high on since last year, and they have a better team for this year, first of all. And like they have legit NFL talent on that defense. And I think they're going to, especially in the secondary. And I think they're going to make life very tough for Notre Dame, especially when Notre Dame's offensive line is not what it normally is. I think Cincinnati is, I think this could get a little ugly. And I do have confidence that Desmond Ridder does enough to put up like 25 to 30-ish points, and I think that'll be way more than enough to beat Notre Dame in this game. James, what do you think?
Yeah, so I also thought I bet 2.5, but I looked back to my bet slip, and I actually bet -1.
Oh, so wow. Good number.
Yeah, I'm pretty pumped about that. Just to hit this Notre Dame game last week one more time. They were outgained by 70 yards, but they won the turnover battle 5-1. In addition to that, like you mentioned already, they had a kick return for a touchdown. They've been in the midst of just an absurdly hard schedule. I mean, on deck, you get Virginia Tech on the road and then North Carolina. At some point in there, you have to have a bit of a clunker. And I mean, they certainly did the first week or two of the year, but I think Cincinnati is just the best team they've played to this point. Cincinnati's off a bye. Cincinnati went to Indiana just a few weeks back and won, I don't want to say handily, but they take care of business. And I think the same thing happens here. I just trust Cincinnati more than I do Notre Dame. Like you said, Jack Cohn, he's still Jack Cohn. He got injured last week. If it's a third stringer playing, I think I like Cincinnati more.
Cohn's going to start.
Either way, it doesn't matter. The quarterback play will not be that great. Cincinnati has a personnel matchup here. This isn't the old big boy versus little boy. Cincinnati has personnel. They're big enough, physical enough. They can punch Notre Dame in the mouth here. I think they win.
Is this the Brian Kelly revenge game?
No.
From 15 years ago when he last worked at Cincinnati?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I would also doubt that. It's this will be a very, very interesting game to watch. I'm actually very excited, and I'm hopeful that Cincy wins, both for the pregame ticket I have and the national title feature, because if they lose, they're not going to win. And then our last ranked matchup, or ranked versus ranked matchup, my Baylor Bears are traveling to, what's that, Stillwater to take on Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State's laying 3.5, totals at 47.5. What are your thoughts here, James?
I might bet Oklahoma State. Baylor coming off a huge win. Win total this year was 5.5. So they're supposed to be a fringe bowl team. And now they currently stand at 4-0. Beat the co-favorite basically for the Big 12 title. So things are looking good for them. On the other side, Oklahoma State's played bad for the first 3 weeks. Then last week, they opened up a can of whoop-ass on K-State. They won by 11. I was on K-State plus 7, so I was following the game pretty closely. They actually outgained K-State by 200 yards. And K-State still had a chance there at the end of backdoor. So I think that final score is a little misleading.
I was very bummed about that.
Yeah, I was too. But I think it could be a bit of a flat spot for Baylor. I mean, it's hard to have a flat spot when it's a ranked versus ranked matchup, but Oklahoma State is a stay-at-home week of prep. I think they just spot lines up well for them. I just think they're better than like half point better than on neutral. Baylor has certainly been good this year, but I think at some point you got to sell, and the time is now.
That's fair take. I'm kind of passing on this game. The hook does interest me, especially in a low total game. And I think that Aranda's defense is very, very good. And Iowa State had like a couple of things kind of go their way to stay in the game. And there were some bad drops by Baylor receivers. Like, I thought the game was going to get kind of ugly. And Bohannon's great. Like, he's a far better runner than what Charlie Brewer was. And I think he's as effective, if not more effective as a passer than like Brewer was in the, whenever they got that season, when they got waxed by Georgia in the Sugar Bowl. Was that a Sugar Bowl? Probably.
Yes.
But I don't know. I do see your point. I also think Oklahoma State is a little fraudulent.
Definitely. And they were really fortunate the first 3 weeks. Their first three wins, they were outplaying every game.
And I think that we're like a missed field goal against Boise and a couple other like poor bounces away from this being a pick, if not Baylor laying points on the road. And I think Gundy's still a fine coach, but I this sounds weird, but I just kind of trust Dave Aranda more in the spot. So I'll lean Baylor. I'll also lean to the under. Before we get into our five favorite plays of the weekend, just a quick little word from our sponsor, Anchor. Thank you to Anchor. And James, it is time. I drafted first today, just as an update. Our very crappy top five records. I think I'm 7-8, and you are 6-8-1. My first pick of the weekend is, as I said before, Texas laying 4 against at TCU, and essentially, this just comes down to TCU's just straight up inability to stop the run against SMU, and essentially all year long. SMU has like a very solid O-line, but they don't have the guys up front that Texas has. nor do they have the running backs as talented as Bijan Robinson. He's going to be able to do whatever he wants in this game. And if TCU decides to stack the box against him, then Casey Thompson is going to do his thing. I'm very confident in Sark being able to, and like, I feel like I talk about this every pod. Like he's one of the best play callers in college football. And if I can bet back a Texas offense, I'm going to be very happy. Defensively, I think that TCU play calling doesn't do what it's supposed to. It, like, they need to let Max Duggan do his thing, because like there's things he can do and there's things he can't. And like, they watch him make one mistake. And even if it's not even like a game, horrible interception or something like that, it just goes to the most conservative play calling ever, and it doesn't work. And I think that, like, if they let Max Duggan just kind of like run around the field and, you know, like pick up all these yards with like chunk plays, or like, you know, big down the field throws, like they do have a chance to stay in this game. But I don't see that happening, just because history tells me they don't let him do that all game long. And so I do think lane four right now with Texas, I like it up to -5.5. So give me the Longhorns on Saturday. What do you think?
I lean that way. We've seen Texas struggle the last handful of times down at TCU. They've lost the last four in Fort Worth. That obviously was under Charlie Strong and Herman. So different coaches, both guys who struggle with the role of being a favorite, which they were every time they went to TCU. Sark, I think, is different. I mean, we've seen what they've been able to do with Casey Thompson at QB. Even that Arkansas game, he put up 20 points in the second half and they put him in. So he brings a whole new dynamic. And last week we saw TCU just get obliterated on defense by SMU. Texas has the athletes that are superior to that. I think better scheme. You know, Sark's going to watch that film, just tear up this TCU defense. So I definitely lean Texas, potentially a bet for me, but I'm going to hope this drops back down to around the four range.
Makes sense. James, you want NC State got a big win Saturday, and now you want to fade them. And I don't know why this got bet up even more. I also like La Tech. Tell me why.
I'll tell you why. La Tech last week had some COVID concerns, so QB Austin Kendall did not play. They took the 24-0 lead in the first quarter against North Texas with a third-string quarterback, and then they decided to put the fourth-string quarterback in for the second half. Game ended up being pretty close, maybe creating some value here. And obviously on the other side, NC State, dramatic win at home against Clemson. You listen to Coach Doran after the game, he's like crying. Biggest win he's had here. Just a spot, and you traditionally look to fade. And I think Louisiana Tech is the perfect spot here, right? Perfect team for this spot. Jeez, sorry, I couldn't speak right there. I'm trying to pull up, I had it right in front of me. So they've played four games this year, Louisiana Tech. They lost at Mississippi State by one as 20-point dogs, led the entire game there. Lost against SMU at home by two, 11-point dogs there. They also lost on a Hail Mary that game. They played Southeast Louisiana and won 45-42 as huge favorites. And they beat North Texas by seven last week as 10-point favorites. So if you want to look for a team who's going to play their level of competition, that is Louisiana Tech. You want a team who's going to catch someone in a flat spot, that is Louisiana Tech. Everything lines up here. I really like the first half angle in this as well. Their two losses against SMU and Mississippi State, they led at halftime. Mississippi State, they actually led 34-14 in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, that was a big-time choke.
Yeah, it's a huge choke. And they had missed the game-winning kick too. Yeah. I really like this Louisiana Tech team. Expectations were really low in the preseason. All they've done is come out and cover as underdogs every game. Another underdog role here and another cover. And I think they're pretty live on the money line.
Yeah, I'm with you. And you, all you got to do is give me a big dog, and you know I'm already looking at what that money line is. But I agree. And I think you summed it up perfectly, and I really don't have, you don't have much to add. Before the pod, you said first half money line, and I'm playing that for sure. And just like first half in general, I think they could get off to a very hot start, especially if Austin Kendall.
You get a 5-1 first half money line.
Ooh, I like that. Oh, baby. Hell yeah. Yeah, I'm going to be placing that bet right after we finish recording here. And Austin Kendall is a big-time difference maker too.
And for sure.
I mean, he spent, what, 2-3 years at Oklahoma? I think maybe a year at West Virginia, or am I making that up?
No, he was at both. I mean, you're going to be at Louisiana Tech. That is quite the prospect. I mean, he's better than, I think, NC State's quarterback. NC State's offense has not been impressive at all. Their defenses look good, but
defense has been great. It's been very good.
Certainly a spot here for Louisiana Tech to come make some noise.
Yeah. And then, I just spaced out for a second. So I don't even know who USF plays. This is your second favorite bet. USF is getting 21 against two.
SMU.
Okay.
So for some reason I found myself in watching a lot of USF games. I haven't seen a whole lot of SMU, but another huge spot. I mean, SMU comes off a huge win. Honestly, they kind of dominated TCU, and now you get to go home. SMU, another team who plays their level of competition. I mean, they've played FCS teams really close. Louisiana Tech, you win on a Hail Mary. I don't think this game is going to be like that close, but I certainly think USF can keep it within 21. I really like this now that it's at 3 touchdowns. SMU. USF showed me something in the second half of that BYU game. They're my fifth like last week. Just a new dimension of that offense. They started letting their quarterback run the ball, and I think they put up 24 points in the second half, made it a one-score game in BYU. And if they got the ball back, there was certainly a chance that they could have taken it to overtime. That offense has actually looked like they're just clicking pretty well. This SMU defense does not scare me. I think USF can catch them sleeping a little bit here. It's a pretty similar handicap, but I just think USF is getting a good number because the results the first 3 weeks. And SMU is just a bad spot. So more of the same. It's probably pretty consistent, my theme this week. So USF plus 21, really like it. Not going to say play the money line on this one, but I think they keep it within two scores.
I'll push back a little bit. I think SMU's offense is like super, super good. That being said, they tried to plant the flag in the middle of the TCU field last week. So it will be a very, very big hangover spot. And then USF was playing against, somehow there's another Romney and he's a quarterback. But they were playing the backup or third string BYU quarterback. And I'm maybe not as impressed with USF as you might be. That being said, I can't really argue with the spot or getting 21 points. So we got that one there. My second favorite play, I've got Kentucky as a home dog. We're running back with Kentucky getting 8.5 points. And they're hosting Florida. And so I've fully bought into the Kentucky offense, regardless of how much they struggled last week. So I think that South Carolina has a better D line than Florida. And I think that's kind of why they struggled a bit. They just weren't able to open up the holes in the running game like I think they will be able to this week. And then on top of that, so in the NFL, there's always talk about a Sean McVay assistant. And there's a Sean McVay assistant at Kentucky. And I believe he's the offensive coordinator for Mark Stoops. And he has just completely opened up the offense. So, like, they're throwing downfield more. I love watching Will Levis take shots, not because I think he's a good quarterback, but because I just think it's like one more thing for Kentucky opponents to respect. And then it opens up running room for Chris Rodriguez, which, like, towards the end of the game, it's like we finally saw, which I was very happy that Kentucky covered, because that was a big position for me, I will say. And but towards the end of the game, like, it was game over when Kentucky got the ball back for the last time, because he was picking up 8 yards at a time, like every time he took Chris Rodriguez. This is every time he touched the ball. And I think it's not incredibly difficult to game plan for Emory Jones, and the prospect of Anthony Richardson does scare me, but I'm not going to worry about it, especially getting 8.5 points as a home dog. So give me the Kentucky Wildcats. James, what do you think?
Yeah, this would have made my five if it wasn't your second play. It probably would be my fourth or fifth, but I need Florida's blood after last week. I cannot believe Tennessee did not cover against them on the road.
Well, that was 100% my fault. Getting excited in the first quarter.
Chaz jinxed two plays last week in the first quarter. It was just, as soon as he said it, I don't think Tennessee scored a point after. And whatever the other one was,
I think it might have gotten the same thing. No, Liberty was a touchdown.
Oh, they tied it.
I said it after the touchdown. And then it ended up being called back, which, of course,
that's right.
And then there was a goal line stand.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, but I completely agree. This is a bit of a rivalry game here. And I just trust Stoops, honestly. Stoops has been a really good coach as an underdog. I think Florida's obviously the better team here, but Emory Jones on the road kind of scares me if you're a Florida backer here. I think that Kentucky defense is very good, and I think they can create turnovers. If they're able to stop the run and make Florida one-dimensional, that really will bode well for them. But if they can stop the run, I really think 8.5 is just too many here. I think this is going to be a really close game. I think Florida probably sticks it out in the end, but give me anything over possession for sure.
You know, I before we kind of move on, I'm going to give Emory Jones credit because he has definitely improved as a passer.
Yeah,
for and, sure. We've been clamoring for Anthony Richardson, but like Emory Jones has been pretty dang good so far. So especially
he showed me a lot in that Bama game.
Oh, for sure, he was hitting.
They're booing to get him off the field. Yeah, so
it and they were like throws into tight windows. It was impressive. My third favorite play is Nevada getting 6.5 points. I believe they're on the road.
At Boise.
And so they're at Boise. It sucks. So I'm going to preface this with the bad news first. Their leading receiver so far this year, but I think he's their second best receiver. Elijah Cooks, I believe his name is. He is going to be out for this game. I think he's out for the year. I think he might have been like an Achilles tear or something like that. But I still get Carson Strong and Romeo Dubs, who is, I think, is the better receiver against a Boise State team that allowed 400 yards of offense and only gave up 3 points. Now, if that's not something that's due for regression, then regression simply doesn't exist. I think Boise State is vastly overrated. And I also think Nevada's got a good defensive scheme to kind of match up with what Boise's trying to do on offense. And I think 6.5, if you want to wait for the 7, I can't really blame you. I bet this before I saw the receiver news. The spread hasn't moved since the news came out. So maybe the market doesn't think he was as valuable as I think he is. That being said, I still really like 6.5, and I think they're very, very alive to win this game. So go Wolfpack. James, what do you think?
Love it. Crazy stat. I was listening to a podcast earlier. Utah State had over 400 yards of offense before they scored a point.
Insanity.
It's just remarkable. I think they had 3 separate red zone trips in the first half. Either missed field goals or turnovers ruined all of those, but certainly deceiving the score there. On the other side, I think Nevada is a very good football team. I mean, just a few weeks back, they were favorites at Kansas State, and now they're catching 6.5 at Boise, who's just not really impressed me at all this year, frankly. I just think there's a lot of value to be had here. Give me the Wolfpack plus 6.5. I think they're pretty live here as well.
James, this is where it just gets ugly. I mean, let me rephrase. All of James's plays are just ugly dogs or like ugly favorites, but we've got Kent State lanes, and I like Kent State this year, but they're laying 16.5 against Bowling Green. Oh, goodness gracious. And there's a chance I might actually bet you on this game just because Bowling Green's been very competitive in all these games, but I also don't. I'm not going to bet you in this game. Explain to me why you like Kent State. Is it just because hangover off a big win?
No, I actually think Kent State's a good team. It's the majority of it. And Kent State has just been getting ruined by a really tough schedule. You want to know they're out of conference? Texas A&M, VMI, which obviously FCS, they put 60 up on them, at Iowa, at Maryland. That is a murderer's row of bad, like just really good teams. All of those teams are ranked or will be ranked when Iowa loses to Maryland on Friday. But I mean, now you get Bowling Green coming off a win at Minnesota. Bowling Green has won like one FBS game in like the last 4 years, and now they have 2 wins this year. I just think it's a really good spot for Kent State coming off of a blowout at Maryland. I mean, they're still putting up yards in all these games.
No, I watched a lot of that Kent State Maryland game, and like they had what felt like 2 or 3 touchdowns called back, and it like they were I came away very impressed with them.
They put up 458 yards of offense. I mean, yeah, like, I don't know how you only scored 16 points with that much offense.
I had an over. I couldn't believe it either.
I had the first half over. I was pretty disappointed as well. But I just Kent State's put up 60 plus on Bowling Green the last 2 years they've played. Obviously, this is a different version of the Bowling Green teams, so I think they're better. But I still don't think that they're this good. Under 17, I love it. If you want to go alternate spreads here or just Kent State team total over, I dig that too. But Kent State's given Bowling Green the work this week.
Sounds good. And your next bet, or excuse me, your fourth favorite play is Kansas State as a 10.5 home dog against the struggling Oklahoma Sooners, struggling with, take that with a grain of salt, they're still undefeated. But they certainly haven't played expectations. Do you expect Klieman to continue to be the really the main guy who's posed like major issues for Lincoln Riley?
I do. I mean, I was a sucker for this last week. This is the same line as Clemson at NC State. And I told myself, this is the spot where Clemson gets right. I like NC State. I just don't think they're that good. And then obviously I was wrong. So this week, going back on my word a little bit, I think Kansas State is playing the role of NC State. I don't think Oklahoma's going to be sleeping by any means. Obviously they've lost to K-State the last 2 years, and Klieman has Lincoln Riley's number. I just think that continues here. It's hard for me to see this Oklahoma team getting over, like, margin over two possessions. Watched them play the last few weeks. This offense has just really struggled. We were on a week one first half against Tulane. It was like minus 19.5. And I think they're up like 23.5. But like ever since that half of football, they have been poor offensively. I don't count the Abilene Christian game. I don't even know if Abilene Christian is like a decent school in the FCS level. So that doesn't really count. But against the D1 ranks, they've really struggled. This is K-State Super Bowl, man. You get to go home. These fans will be crazy. This is a Saturday morning game. I mean, we saw the spot 2 years ago. They're 21-point dogs, and they won. I think this is a pretty good K-State team. Didn't really show it last week, but now they get Oklahoma. I think they come out, and they play really well. Rattler just has not impressed me by any means, and he's playing himself out of the Heisman. I'm sure you probably have heard about it by now if you haven't. But I just think 10.5 is too many here.
I'll bet you on this game. I'll bet you on this game. And the reasoning is Kansas State relies on like kind of like the run and they rely on like short passing and like quarterback runs and, you know, and just like Deuce Vaughn to like set up so much of their offense. And I don't know if they're going to be able to establish that early against Oklahoma. Like this is Oklahoma's offense has had plenty of issues so far this year. Their defense has been outstanding. And like they have clearly the best defensive rushing success rate in the Big 12. And they have, and in terms of, I think they're going to be able to kind of continue to suppress any attempts or any kind of success that Kansas State expects to do on the offensive side of the ball. Now the Kansas State defense concerns me, and because I think they have a truly, truly outstanding secondary. And I think that, I mean, just it's kind of tough to back Oklahoma in this after what we've seen the past couple of weeks. So I guess I'm talking myself into an under if I really had to make a bet, which let me try and find that total real quick.
52.5.
That's a little low for Oklahoma, but I'll know. I might actually play that under come game time and see if it takes up at all. 10.5 is a big number. I would say that Kansas State and the under are correlated. Would you agree?
I don't know if I necessarily do. I mean, if you look at the last 2 years, they've won 48-45 and 48-41. So you would think so. It makes way more sense that way. But
those are also some bad, bad Oklahoma defenses, though.
Yeah, but like I feel like we say this every year. We get caught in a trap. They play good defense for a few weeks, and we say, all right, the defense is finally getting better.
And I don't know if I agree with that.
I mean, I kind of do. I definitely lean to the other in this game, but I don't think it's super duper correlated, you know?
Because I think that what we talk about is at the start of the season, it's Alex Grinch has improved this defense like year over year, and it's clearly gotten to like a breaking point where now Oklahoma is like a legitimately good defense. Whereas it was like, oh yeah, they finally cracked the top 40, or like, oh, they're better than 70th finally. And I mean, looking at the scores of those games, I think it's more to attribute what Chris Klieman has done against the Lincoln Riley defense more so than the Lincoln Riley offense. Like, Oklahoma is still putting up 35 points, 41 points in these games. And I don't know. I think that Oklahoma defensive improvement is going to be what sets them apart in this game here. So that's just kind of my take on the game. Finally, my fourth favorite play is I'm laying 15 points. Shop around. I found a 14 with Ohio State, but we'll say 15 for the sake of the timing of this. Rutgers had a great game against Michigan last week, and they were able to keep it close. And I think this number is just far underrated Ohio State here. CJ Stroud's going to be back, and I think the offense is going to show something wildly explosive. This is going to be really simple. I just think they blow them out. Like, it's a 3-point win. They're going to have the advantage on the outside. And certainly athletically, I think in spots where you can kind of muck it up with the team, like the Rutgers is going to like kind of like get in your face and out physical you a little bit. And you're just not going to be able to do that with Ohio State, with how talented they are on the outside. Like, Rutgers doesn't have the bodies to hang with them there. And I just don't think they're going to be able to score very well either. I'm very happy laying the points with what I think is a pretty short number with Ohio State.
Yeah, this is a borderline bet for me. If I could find a 14, I'd probably bet it as well. Ohio State finally got their first cover last week against Akron. But Rutgers on the other side, I mean, they've been picking up wins against bad teams and covering. They played well last week against Michigan. I'll give them credit there, but at a certain point, it gets too low for Ohio State. And if you looked at this line preseason, this is probably around 28-ish. And now we're getting it around two possessions. Just short for me. I'm with you on Ohio State here.
Sweet. And then my fifth favorite play of the weekend is I'm going to lay 2.5 with the UAB Blazers. Call it an overreaction to a primetime game for Liberty, but the O-line looked terrible, and that was the Syracuse D-line that was dominating them. It just looked like Malik Willis was holding on to the ball a little bit too long, and I think that UAB's D-line and kind of back seven are going to cause issues that could make him struggle a little bit. So I'm very interested to see how he plays, whether he chooses to rely on his legs or if Hugh Freeze changes up the game plan at all. What do you think?
Yeah, I lean this way for sure. I wish I got a better number on this. At 2.5, it's certainly a lean, but there was picks earlier in the week, and it's kind of bothering me. I didn't get on that. UAB went to Tulane last week and just actually manhandled Tulane. And I think Tulane is pretty similar to what Liberty wants to do on offense. Liberty's just going to get pushed around.
Tulane is essentially like the more downfield passing and faster version. So I think it's even more impressive what UAB did.
Yeah, I mean, we saw Liberty just get manhandled at the line of scrimmage on both sides by Syracuse. UAB also has some physical beasts like Syracuse does. I just think the line of scrimmage is dominated by UAB here.
Also, this total is way too high. Both these teams play very, very slow. And so I think that we could
see total
49.5.
Ooh.
Yeah, Liberty plays very, very slow, and they love to let that clock run. So I do think that there is value on the under. Finally, last play of the day. I hate this is the last one that we're going to talk about, but UNLV is getting 21 points and they're at UTSA, correct?
Yes.
UTSA did get a very fun outright win for me on Saturday against Memphis, but James, why are we fading UTSA this week?
It's more so a play on UNLV, honestly.
Really? Goodness gracious.
I just don't understand how UTSA is laying 21 against a Division I school.
That's fair.
UNLV is not a good school. Well, academically or football wise, but
oh, dude, not our friends at UNLV taking shots. Come on.
But no,
UNLV glancing blows.
UNLV played really well last week. I mean, they had Fresno on the ropes. Granted, it was bad spot for Fresno, but I walked away really impressed with UNLV. They've played okay against better opponents. They had a decent showing at ASU, and then Iowa State just absolutely manhandled them. I just don't think UTSA is good enough to be laying 21 yet. They're getting a lot of respect. They do have good wins. They beat Illinois on the road and they beat Memphis on the road, both one possession games. But I just, it's really hard for me to see UTSA winning by more than three scores here. A little disrespectful to me. 21 or better, this is a play. It's not, I don't love it, but it's just, it jumped out and caught my eye when I saw it. So UNLV plus 21 to wrap it up.
Yeah, you certainly supplied all the listeners with some ugly plays. Hopefully we can retain some of them by you going honestly, we both need 5-0 weeks. We didn't really set up like a money line parlay around Robin. Give me your favorite money line dog leg that we have or haven't mentioned yet.
There's a lot I like. So I got to, you want to start?
Actually, before I do, I'm going to brag about my Oregon State number just to show everyone how sharp I am. I halfway, I think this was Sunday night, I bet Oregon State plus 3, and it is down to Oregon State minus 2.5. So there's a quick little brag in there. In terms of money line play, though, I would lay like a juiced number, a money line number on Oregon State. I think the first half, what was it? La Tech bet. I think that's
like, yeah, that's
what it'll be a fun. Right, it'll be a fun one to have in there. And then I think Georgia Tech money line is just good. It's, you're getting Narduzzi as a favorite, laying more than a field goal on the road. And Georgia Tech looked like a wagon. And my boy Jeff Sims was balling and the D line dominated. I also think that total might be a little bit too low, but because we know how I feel about the new Pittsburgh offense and Kenny Pickett's baller in his 11th year. But you guys just all got a free breakdown on the Pittsburgh Georgia Tech game. there we go. My mind just went blank for a second. James, any other legs to add? Just spitballing. How is Florida State favored?
I mean, Syracuse is that bad, in my opinion. I almost put Florida State in here.
Oh, my gosh.
Maryland. I like Maryland Moneyline.
Okay. Sounds good. Maryland Moneyline. This is our closing note. Follow us at the Sharpside Pod.
And ASU.
On Twitter and ASU. Oh, I like that, too. Download the BetSports app. Follow our featured page at the Sharpside Pod on there, too. Guys, rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts. Send us flying up those charts. And thanks again for listening for the Sharpside Podcast. It's been fun. I'm ready for a great weekend of football. Let's go win some money. Thanks, guys.